Brian Wells is in the studio with me tonight. He's had an extensive career in network television, and he's here tonight to talk about his debut novel for middle schoolers. It is titled The League and the Lantern. Brian, I'm delighted to welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Barbara, it's an absolute pleasure.
So as The League and the Lantern opens, we find Jake Herndon, he's the main character, in a bit of a difficult situation, even though he's trying to do a do-over in his life. He's in seventh grade. So where is he headed, and what is the, shall we say, detour along the way that involves a fountain?
In a large sense, he's headed to his do-over. It's his massive middle grade do-over. So he had an unfortunate sixth grade, culminated with some rather humiliating public experiences, and just felt it was kind of time for a reboot. So he's headed to the orientation night for his new middle school, for his seventh grade orientation. And he has a little run-in along the way where he's just, as always, he's trying to do the right thing and just ends up in a terrible situation. And where it ends up is for this poor seventh grader, Jake Herndon, is he ends up at his middle school orientation covered with Hungarian mustard.
Well, fortunately, in his adventure, he picks up some pals along the way, which is always a wonderful thing at any time in life. But where is this summer sleepover taking place, and who are TJ and Lucy?
Sure. So his school has a tradition of doing this summer's over sleepover that they do as a new orientation for the new kids at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. So it's Chicago-based. It's a school for just brilliant kids who are definite, you know, just absolute geniuses. But also what comes with the mix with that, as often as it does, and of course with Jake, is that he's pretty socially inept as well. So while he certainly has the brains, the social skills are kind of not quite there. So it's a sleepover at the Museum of Science and Industry that gets interrupted that night. And TJ and Lucy are two other new students at the school that they kind of get kind of put into an outcast group together because they don't kind of have their tribe yet. Jake, through this adventure over this weekend, gets to know these two new kids, TJ and Lucy, and they actually develop quite a bond.
Tell us just what the beginning of the adventure is, because it takes quite an amazing turn from what he expected.
Sure. So they're at the sleepover at the Museum of Science and Industry. And they do a scavenger hunt that night where they break up into teams and all the kids have to go around and solve clues. During that scavenger hunt, something happens and all the power goes out in the building and there's an explosion. What ends up happening is that an evil organization has invaded the Museum of Science and Industry and they're up to no good. Not exactly sure what yet, but they seem to be stealing artifacts. And Jake, along with TJ and Lucy, are able to escape the museum that night, only to find themselves on a 48-hour fight for survival on the streets of Chicago.
Interestingly enough, you wanted your book to be educational as well as entertaining. So from what I read, that has to do with two things, vocabulary and compassion. So you want to talk a little bit about the inclusion of those in the book?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, I will start with, you know, I come from a television background, and I know things have to be just flat out exciting and fun. You can't go out to create art and say, boy, I want to make this some sort of school lesson or something like that. You're going to end up in a bad corner, you know, when you do that. I always say nobody wants fat-free ice cream. They want awesome ice cream. Now, if you can give them awesome ice cream and then they find out afterwards that's fat-free, wow, you've done something. So I think about that when it comes to stories, particularly for kids. So first of all, I knew this had to be just an awesome action adventure that kept you on the seat of your pants, entertained you, and you grew to love these characters. Within that, though, there could be some fiber to the story in there, and there's kind of two pieces to it. One was I did want a theme of this story to be about compassion. We get a little bit into some threads of the Civil War in the story, and I've always been fascinated. Abraham Lincoln, I know there's a lot of mythology around him, and you know, you've got to kind of cut through that to really appreciate the full man. But one piece of that with Abraham Lincoln that I've always admired is he was definitely a man of forgiveness. Definitely. When you read, you know, his second inaugural address about mercy for all and, you know, malice for none, all of that, he was definitely about healing our country and moving to a place of compassion. So I wanted to pick up some of those threads because I feel like so much of entertainment, really exciting entertainment today, tends to be so much about revenge or getting what's due you or looking out for yourself. And I wanted to have another theme in this book. Underlying all the great fun and the humor and the action adventure would be a theme of mercy and compassion. So that was one of the pieces. And then you also mentioned the vocabulary. Yeah, I took a couple passes with this book with some friends of mine that work in education, because I know one of the things from having spent time with parents of middle schoolers, if you ask parents of middle schoolers what they most want for their child for the summer, their answer is fun. They want their kid to have fun. They just feel like so many of us that childhood's being stolen from our kids. And that middle school summers, those are kind of some of the last seasons where they can really kind of still be a kid. So most of all, they want them to have fun. But then their number two desire after I want my child to have fun is they want them to stay sharp for school. Mm. And they tend to talk about the summer slide or the summer brain drain. And they tend to really talk about that in terms of math or reading. So we did a couple passes of the book where we took 140 of the top vocabulary words that middle school kids need for success, and we invisibly wove them into the book. And then there's a companion vocabulary guide that's available on the website you can download for free that's based on the 140 vocabulary words that are in the book.
One of the things that really piqued my interest is that in your bio, it states that you have lived everywhere from the jungles of Nigeria to the prairies of Illinois, and now you live in Cincinnati. So I'm interested to know, did those experiences influence your writing, especially for kids in this age group? And did you bring that to your writing career?
Yeah, I think they did. I think like anyone, those are very formative years when you're growing up and everything influences you. But particularly, yes, living abroad early, my parents in Nigeria, and then when we moved back to the States, and also in Illinois, where we ended up moving back to where I grew up, both of those pieces influenced this story. And I think probably most literally two ways. One was I've always been intrigued by third culture kids. Kids that have grown up in other cultures or maybe multiple different cultures, and they tend to have no kind of strong sense of identity to one exact geography, and they feel a little bit kind of misfits, kind of outcasts a little bit. But at the same time, they tend to be some of the most brilliant, some of the most resourceful, some of the most entrepreneurial kids that you'll ever meet. I've always been fascinated by what they call third culture kids. So that plays into this story through the character of Lucy. She's a third culture kid. She's grown up all over the world. She speaks a ton of different languages. She's very resourceful, but on the other end of that, she's also pretty mistrusting and has a hard time making friends because of that as well. And that's kind of the dark side of some of that independent spirit. And then the second piece was, once we moved back to the States, I grew up in Springfield, Illinois, and that is Mr. Lincoln's hometown. So you grow up with the whole Abraham Lincoln lore around you. And I've always been fascinated by the man of Abraham Lincoln versus the myth of him, and also just that pivotal time in our country's history.
Just briefly, how was seventh grade for you?
You know, that's interesting. In my bio in my book, which this was a bit of a shocker to my mom, as a matter of fact, when she saw the book, it says that seventh grade was the worst year of my life. I had totally forgotten that was in my bio. And I got this email from my mom, what happened to you in seventh grade? I'm like, Mom, it's okay. It wasn't anything more traumatic other than just middle school.
It's delightful to talk with you tonight. Thanks for visiting with us.
It's a pleasure.
I've been talking with Brian Wells about his debut novel for 9 to 14-year-olds. It is titled The League and the Lantern, and Brian has partnered with other organizations to provide a book for each child who couldn't otherwise afford it for each book that is sold. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.